Accession number 14972, Richard Atkinson, Reel 12.
Mr. Atkinson, Reel 12. What was your next move when Alamein moved forward, in effect, the pursuit started?
Nothing. We just reorganised the battalion, the brigade or division. We just reorganised and we sort of moved to the coast, and that's when you could have a swim and whatnot. And we did nothing. We just followed them up the desert as far as... Where they had the victory parade again, there. Where they had the victory parade.
Tripoli?
Castel Benito was in, it was in the airport on the outskirts of the city. We stopped there, but we didn't take part of any more fighting. We just drove up at a leisure pace, followed up like as a reserve division. Tripoli, that was the place. And Castel Benito wasn't in the town. It was just sufficiently far out, so the fellas didn't get into town and cause trouble.
You did you remain driving this officer?
Yeah.
You didn't get involved with the transport which was taken away from the brigade and division to carry supplies through?
No. Once over, when he's putting a push in for Tripoli, they're bringing supplies in the Benghazi nut, petrol nut, and I was putting the 3-ton and we're running 3-ton loads of petrol up to supplies behind the line. Yes, I was involved. I was putting a 3-tonner for that. See, that's where the flimsies were loaded on like straw matting. And the jug of the road, it just burst open and leaked. And the water, you could see the petrol running over the tailboard of the truck in front of you like a river. You carry, like, say, 1,000 gallon for a figure of speech and get there with 200 gallons. Oh my God. It's all lying on the road. And once over, it took fire. There was a fire and so many vehicles went in smoke. And we shouted, the army film people was there, and we were getting, he chased us. I says, oh, no, you're photographing the guys on the people. He says, when this comes on the newsreels at home, it'll be a German dump going up. It was some of our transport that had taken fire. But I was involved in that from Benghazi to Tripoli. Well, for that push, we took it up so far and left it, then we came back to our own transport, but we came back to the regiment.
So the battalion of...
They just stopped where they were.
They
just stopped at Benghazi and we were running the stuff forward and come back. I think I did about 3 trips up the coast road and back, and we just come back. When Montgomery got his supplies, we just come back to the regiment and took over normal duties again.
What happened next?
Well, as I say, we went to Castel Benito, and of course I'd moved on from there, and that's when we joined in the fighting again, because we're into Tripoli by this time. We're amongst green fields and France, belonged to France, and we're, you know, back to civilization sort of style. And we just went to the coast road fighting.
Did you see any signs of Italian civilians?
Oh, yes. They were there. Well, that's French, I think it was. They used to speak French. Yes, oh, they were there just normal. You know, the house number, because you weren't allowed in. The bridges was blown, and you had little detours around bridges and whatnot. But the troops was just airborne, lorry troops by the same again with the service going, we were with them. And they'll look after Wadi Akarit and whatnot.
That was Marath. Mm. That would be when? What date would that be?
Oh, I don't know if I've got it here.
It's about the March of...
Yes, it would be round about the March, that area, because that's what got involved with Wadi Akarit and Marath.
What's your memories of Marath?
Well, it was horrendous. Getting into Marath was a hard part for transport. The fellas went in, and it was like a big flat salt flat, and the trucks just sunk into the axles. We couldn't get across to get in the first place. So what were we doing? We're taking the lads' blankets off the trucks and laying them out like sand tracks and driving over them. So that meant they had no blankets. If they were stuck. They were lying in the... And these, like, quicksand stuff. We got in, course, it went wrong. Couldn't do anything. And there had to be, the trucks had to be winched back out. And all that was lost, all that blankets and everything was lost. Because the lads, what was that? They just had to, you could only march out. But it was a shambles, to be honest. Should never, you know, it's happened. But we couldn't achieve anything. The lads put a hell of a fight up and whatnot. But it was chaos even getting in. It was like a big salt flat. We call them salt flat. It looked like hard ground, and you got under and you just sunk in. You kept going down, down, down.
This was approaching the wadi?
Approaching the wadi.
What was happening? Could you see what was happening in front of you?
Yes, oh yes. Because the lads had crossed the wadi, you know, trying to climb to that side, and it was in front of you. And you couldn't go back, and you couldn't go forward. And he wasn't touching us, he was concentrating on them, you see. And the other thing was like sitting in the pictures, again. You know, you're sufficiently up to see it, but not take part in it.
What were the defences like that you were looking at?
It was a miniature Marath line. It was a huge anti-tank trap across that cross, and you had to climb the sheer concrete emplacements and whatnot. They had scaling ladders and stuff to try and get up. And, you know, and then they said, oh, it's all right. It was only to put a feint attack in so the Kiwis could get on and deliver the punch. There was no way anybody could have took it, because by this time he had it fully manned. It was a French Maginot Line. It was built by the French. And it was one of those things that he did it, and then we came out of there and went round.
What do you recall was happening to you during the course of those days that you were there? What were you seeing? What were you doing? What were you hearing?
Well, and again, it was all... There was no information coming back. Nothing come back at the time the fighting was going on. We could see it, and we knew there was a battle going in. And we knew the 8th was there because we were mixed up with the 8th transport. We knew they were there. And then when it was over, we come out, and Churchill was the man who was in charge. And he apologised. He said, I'm sorry, lads, it's no fault of yours, but he got brass hatted. Was it the brigadier? I don't know.
Beak. Chap called Beak.
Well, Churchill must have been our commanding officer then. But anyway, he was a fellow called Churchill, and he had come to us and he apologised. He said, I'm sorry, you put a magnificent fight up and all that. It was a vain effort, it was wasted. But not to worry, it was none of your faults. And they took the can back for it. And that's all we knew about the battle. I mean, we didn't know the name of it until afterwards. So we found out it was Marath.
Did you see the remnants and survivors coming back?
Oh, yes. They came back with us. Well, they were confused and whatnot. They couldn't understand why they'd done all this and been pulled out. Everybody was in the dark. We all had to struggle to get out again. You know, on the transport. But they couldn't put them on transport because the transport was sinking. They had to keep as much weight off as possible. But they were come back in a terrible state. That had a real rough time of it, to be honest.
Were they angry? Were they?
Oh yes, they were
anyone?
Very angry. Yeah, well, they could only blame the higher ups. But they're angry to think they've done all this for nothing. They said, "Well, why have we had to come out and leave it? You know, retreat and sort of stuff." Which wasn't a retreat, but it was a wasted effort, and they really resented it.
What was your personal role? Were you driving for this officer, or had you?
No, I think I was on supplies that at that time. He was probably stopped back at Bieshlon, you see, and I was up forward with supplies. I was most probably just carrying spare rations or something like that.
Were you under fire? Did you come?
Yes,
under fire?
Yes, under fire. But he wasn't worried about us. He was worried about them having a go at him. You see, he wasn't worried. He knew that. He knew that lot behind couldn't do nothing. They couldn't get in, they couldn't get out. He wasn't worried about that. The odd one was coming amongst you, but nothing to worry about.
What did you do next?
Well, we just came out, got ourselves pulled together and reorganised a bit, and we came round by the road up 10 feet ago, where Cape Bon, where they had him trapped in. By this time, we'd linked up with the Americans and whatnot. Went in, stopped. They had the Durhams had one battle and they said it was impossible and it was just halted. And then we came back down the desert. A day at a time, stopped on the coast road. Come down, a day at a time. Stopped in one of the towns. And
was this in a convoy?
In a convoy, yeah.
What were you carrying?
The stores again, as usual. I think I had stopped driving. Well, I wasn't sure about blood. He would most probably rain with a colonel or something. But I think I was driving a 3-ton stores. And you just come down a day at a time, you stopped. And the lads used to dive in the sea and have a wash. And the next one, again, another day's drive. It took about 4 days to get down to Alexandria.
Did you know why you were coming back?
No. Didn't know at all. We thought, the war in the desert's finished. That's all we knew. We didn't know why we were coming back.
Were you angry that you hadn't been in at the kill at the end?
Well, we didn't know it was the end, you see. We didn't know it was the end until we got back to Alexandria and they said, like, I trapped them in there and it was finished. Well, we had to think it was somewhere near the end because, well, we linked up with the Americans and whatnot. But we didn't know nothing until, so I said, oh, Bonn, which I think is about 8 miles from Enfidaville where we stopped. It was the start of a town, like, you know, the streets that was beginning to start. And the Germans was trapped in his pocket, and that was it.
Where did you go to in the Delta?
We came down to Alexandria, and they gave us... Well, we must have stopped outside Alexandria, you know, the division got back in that. Then they sent us into City Bish, part of Alexandria, for 5 days rest, 5 days leave in this camp in Alexandria itself. And we had 5 days leave there.
What did you do on your leave?
Oh, you just went out each day down into Alexandria, you know, the cinemas and boozing and stuff like that. You had a club, we always used to go to the Kit Kat, and the Manchesters was there, and Durham's in the Manchester, each one used to use their own sort of club. I mean, used to get the women on striptease and stuff like that, you know, that sort of thing. But it was just boozing, got the cinema. Lozzie's was there, and just enjoy it.
Was this the first time you'd met Australians?
Oh no, I met them in the desert. And I had bumped into Australians when I come down through Damascus. I came down by the Sea of Galilee, and I stopped with them one night for petrol and stuff. I bumped into the Australians.
What were they like? How did you get on with them?
Oh, good, the Australians. They couldn't understand us because they were rough and ready. There's no such... Their officers was men like them, you know, didn't bother saluting them and stuff like that. And they couldn't understand how we had all this bull. They wouldn't believe it. They say, oh, that, no. But they were rough and ready, but they were good. But they had no time for the English discipline. Smashing troops, mind. But you see that again. Used to employ them to take a place, get in and fight cat and dog, take it. But they wouldn't hold it. They weren't disciplined enough to hold it. So they used to let them take it. We used to occupy it. And we used to hold it. And they used to come on. And they could never understand why the British had this stupid discipline. But they're all good. You know, the Kiwis was a different fight altogether. It was like us. Fight, hold, no one. He was a smashing man to work with as well.
In Alexandria, as you say, you had your various places that you went to relax. Were there a great deal of back area people who were prominent in that area? People who had never been up to the fight that you were meeting with?
No. Well, you see that again, your clan should have just kept amongst yourselves. But there was regimental brothels there. First time I've ever seen or heard in my life. There was two brothels, one for the officers and one for the men in Sister Street. Run by the Red Caps. See, you know, you couldn't believe it. I don't think there were many back troops because Montgomery cut all that out. Because it was Cairo, I suppose, or GHQ, or whatever it was. But Montgomery had all, none of that, were all up. Either up or away, he wouldn't have useless mouths, as he used to call them.
At this stage of the war, you've been through quite a number of dangerous situations. Was the stress getting to you as time went on?
No. Actually, you're young, actually, you threw it up. But, you're reveling it, to be honest. You're enjoying it. You know, you thought you were... By this time, Monty had changed morale around completely. And you thought you were the bee's knees, to be honest. You're conquering heroes and everything.
After 5 days in Alexandria, where did you go?
We went out to the Sulphur place again. I can't think of the name. Pity, can't think of the name. And we just sort of, well, and came out the docks. And we couldn't understand why all these ships and that was there. But we were just sort of organising and getting. Suddenly got Harley Davidson motorbikes. Never seen them before in our lives. Oh, what's this? This is good. And things like that, you know. We're bringing, stuff was coming in and getting organised. Because our transport was clapped out by this time. And we're getting new transport.
Were you involved in the training then that the battalions were going through for invasion?
Well, yes. We went down to Saudi Arabia and we did an invasion across the Red Sea once over. You know, when you invade them, they say it was a huge tent marquee where you got food. Yes, oh yes, there was a. But we thought it was just a maneuver to occupy what they were. We didn't know it was an invasion. But that was in the Red Sea, into Saudi Arabia somewhere. And we came back. That's the type of thing they did, you see. Took you out and you didn't know. And we come back to Alexandria.
Did this include putting your lorries onto ships and taking them off again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Went through all that.
Full over. Across the Red Sea. And well, it was landing craft. It wasn't ships. That, well, I'd seen these flat-bottom landing craft suddenly appear, you see. But it keeps doing this and bringing you back to Alexandria because it was a big naval base. Kept coming back there.
Any changes again in your equipment? You mentioned stuff coming through.
We've got American motorbikes, new vehicles and stuff like that, but there's no change. You still have the same, the KD and battle dress. You suddenly left the short trousers and then you come into battle dress for Sicily. But no changes, anything like that.
Any particular memories of the routine, training routine that you went through?
it was just the usual. I mean, you didn't even learn to waterproof vehicles. I don't know why. They must have thought the vehicles was going to be all right. You know, normally it was a complete different, properly waterproof, but we didn't even learn to waterproof vehicles. I think it was just the normal thing. We were more concerned in making sure the stuff was up, the supplies, and the lorries was packed correctly and stuff like that. That, yeah, nothing was left behind. And no, the other thing I came with there, there's a lot of juggling going on. And the word LOB suddenly came into being. And everybody saying, oh, LOB, what does that mean? Love, you know, I couldn't understand it. And we found out afterwards, the chosen few was being picked, left out of battle, left behind, and it was organized. If it went wrong, that was the nucleus of a new Durham's, if not a journalist later. But that word suddenly came into being, LOB. But things like that, and then that's when we realized there was something on. By this time, we're aboard vessels. Bottom boats, and you
realised then you were going somewhere.
Going somewhere, we didn't know where.
Was there? What was the rumours that you were getting then? None. Tend to fly around.
We must be having another manoeuvre or something like that. You know, because we've done this Red Sea thing, and we says, oh, we must be having another go at somebody else. But Crete used to come up a lot. Was the first battalion being changed, but that name used to pop up a lot. Crete. But we says, well, that's back to Cyprus, because Cyprus wasn't far from there. Sicily was never mentioned. Malta was mentioned a lot because, you know, we used to have to put patrols in to try and get convoys through to Malta. It was mentioned a lot, but we knew we wouldn't be going to flat bottom boats to Malta.
What day did you sail in for Sicily?
For Sicily, we invaded on the 10th of July. It took about 5 days, 4 days. So it must have been around about the 6th of July we sailed. To invade on the left the desert for invasion of Sicily, 6th of the 6th. We invade on the 10th.
Do you recall the name of the boat you were on?
No, it was just an landing craft number. It was a naval vessel.
They would tell you, no doubt, when the convoy sailed where you're going. What happened then? Were you shown maps and what have you? Was there any kind of organisation like that?
It was chaos. It was the usual flying your way through sort of style. I think Evola was mentioned was where we would be landing. Something like that. They said the paratroopers would be dropped, which they were, poor souls in the sea. But
was the journey without incident?
Yeah, it was terrible weather, atrocious weather. Seasick and all sorts. Never travelled on flat bottom boats before and getting thrown about. It was terrible weather.
Did you go through a boarding drill for the time that you got there?
No. Just come off like a picnic. I don't think they realised, you know, like an invasion. They had the North African one, but I don't think they realised, you know, they didn't sort of train you for it. It was just played by ear as you go along. And as look at it, the drums was landing in the right place, the ninth was landing in the right place, but a lot of them was landing in the wrong places. But we were looking, we were dropping the right place, of all of them.
What are your memories of the actual getting to Sicily and getting on to shore?
Well, coming ashore, well, these Harley Davidsons was no good, because they just, that low down the water just killed them. So they had to drag them off and leave them, I think.
Left the motorbikes.
Left the motorbikes. They were a waste of time. I don't know whose idea that was, but they were, our own was good. The BSAs that we had. But the American things was useless, and we just came off, dropped the ramps on the beach, and I think there was a plane come over, and we're all stand watching it, or something like that, you know, and we just come onto the road and sort of formed up and said, oh, up the road to Syracuse.
Had you suffered coming in, because it was a long way out that you were dropped
from
the boats?
No, well, the landing craft came right down the beach and dropped the ramps. Same as the Normandy. They came right on the beach and dropped their arms.
What state was the sea that you'd come through?
It was a rough sea, that, but by the time we landed, it was calm. Like, you know, 2 or 3 days beforehand, it was bad crossing.
And you mentioned that the parachutists had a bad time. Did you see signs of that?
Oh, yes, we saw bodies in the water. Well out. And that was a Plimsoll Bridge, long way away from where we landed. But that was a fast. Some land on the bridge, but there was a lot. You could see the bodies floating past you in the water at sea.
Was there any opposition when you landed?
No.
Had the assault people gone in ahead of you?
Well, we were the assault people, somehow or other. As I say, it was organised chaos, and we just landed and sort of, which road do we go now and that way? But I think there was a plane come over and you just sort of watch it and duke round and miss it, you know. But you know, there was no fighting on the beach and things like that. The first fighting was Plymouth, although we had a forced march to get to it.
What was the 9th Battalion's task on landing, do you know?
I think we'd to take one of these villages or somewhere near about it or something. You know, I know that we took one place and some Italian armoured cars came in and they were as surprised as us and we just shut them up and sort of fled. That was a few miles inland. But I think there was about 6 Italian armored cars came through. And
did you see anything of the Italian civilians in the landing situation?
Oh, yes, I just turned the fields and whatnot, just going around their normal duties.
I'm saying Italian Sicilians, really.
Yes, Sicilians, yeah. They're just going around their normal duties.
How did they receive you, did they?
Oh, I just ignored you. There was, and to the left, I would. Taking Catania, you know, and it was occupied. They were friendly then, but up to then they just ignored you.
So when you got ashore, what was your role, your own personal role?
It was just, I was just with headquarter company to make sure that I was handy enough for on call for what was wanted. See, is the CEO, Askinson's got so-and-so on. You're there now, we know where you are when we present his job or sergeant's job to. And this word would come back, I want so-and-so, all right, Dick, come on, yeah.
Had you any transport that landed with you?
Oh, yes, we'll land all our transport with us, yeah.
What was the difference between the desert and Sicily?
Oh, well, Sicily, there was no sand for a start, it was dusty, but no sand, it was all green fields and houses and stuff like that, where the desert was nothing, just sand, but this was, as I say, civilization. Houses, fields, streams, and you see water, you know, you had never seen water running around in there, ditches.
Getting around, were the roads okay?
Oh, yeah, the roads was okay. Quite decent, the roads. I mean, there weren't motor roads, but, you know, they were good enough for transport, tanks and stuff.
But an entirely different fighting area to the desert.
Completely different. Yeah, you're getting amongst house-to-house fighting now, close-quarter fighting. Well, the desert, you could see each other. Here, you had to be on your guard for around the corner and things like that. And mines, the Italians were noted for spreading mines everywhere.
Had you been in your training for Sicily, had this come into it, the fact that you would have this confined space to put up with rather than the wide spaces? Because there must have been some adjustment to be made.
Well, there was no adjustment made for house-to-house fighting. There was none of that. They just sort of assumed that you'd pick that up. But you are warned about mines and to be careful with the... You just couldn't go swan around. You know, you had to respect properly and that sort of thing. You know, back to the old routine where don't upset the natives sort of style.
Is this where the enemy were booby-trapping a great deal?
Yes. Yeah.
What were the dangers there?
Oh, well, if you come across where the Germans were, especially, you see a pen lying or a thermos flask or pick it up and you're fingerless. You know, that sort of thing. And another thing, you see, the fellas was wanting to keep, if I kept them down for the night, which they didn't get much of a chance, transport especially, a house. We'll get them there. But if the engineer had been first, hadn't had time to check, they used to write down the door, mined. Whether it was mined or not, keep yours. And if they wanted them for themselves, mined. So you couldn't take a chance in case it hadn't been cleared. But that's, you know, that things like that was happening. And as I say, mines was, anti-personnel mines was on the roadsides and stuff like that. Where you would stop your vehicle and want to go for a run off around the side of the vehicle. There's anti-personnel mines in the grass and the verges, stuff like that.
Did you actually see people hurt?
Oh, yes.
By booby traps?
Oh, yes. Often.
What was your opinion about booby trapping? Was it something that you accepted or...?
Yeah, you accepted it, but it made you cautious. You thought twice. What? In the desert, you got careless, you know, because there was none of that going on. And when you come across this, you thought twice, you said, no. You know, use your loaf a little bit, Dick, and for the sake of a pen, keep your fingers.
Did you accept it as being part of war? Well,
part
or
of
something
war, yes.
Disgraceful, which shouldn't be done?
No, it was just part of the war. We assumed we were doing the same thing. It was just one of those things. No, we did. Part and parcel of the fighting. As I say, an infantry man doesn't worry about things like that. He just gets on with it.
Most of the people now you're meeting are Germans rather than Italians.
Yes, this is where we bumped up against the cracked German paras.
Did this show in your attitude towards your enemy that you were up against a much keener
and
more?
Oh, yes. Yeah, put on your guard on your metal. If you could dismiss the Italians, he'll put his hands up. No, you thought, you know, say, look over carefully, and you didn't go charging around in a cavalier fashion. No, you thought, and you wait to be told, to be honest, before you just go, let's have a look over there. No.
So we'll come to more detail about the island, but basically your job on the island was still driving transport, was it? Supplies.
Yes, supplies. That was the main concern. If the transport was the main idea, was seeing that they had everything that was needed. The colonel used to say to it.
Did that entail running back many miles to pick stuff up?
Oh yes. You see, it depend where base depot, where the divisional depot was, and they were unloading stuff on the seafront. Well, you had to go back there to pick it up. You get word would come up where it was, and what your allocation was, and you. Go back and collect, bring it up.
You mentioned the fact that the roads were good, but they tend to be narrow and high.
Yeah.
Walls and...
Oh, no, they were countrified. No stone walls and stuff like that, but there were narrow roads, and the houses was right on the edge of the road, sort of style. You didn't have footpaths like what you have in England. It was that sort of thing.
Were there accidents?
Oh, yes. It was nothing new, accidents. You could rent a truck off as easy as that. Nobody used to bother. It was just road off, and that was the thing. Well, if you went in the village, you'd see the first thing used to go, the town hall. There's also a town hall, and the colonel would set himself up on the steps, take them in, operate from there, and you open, things like that. But it was all village-ified.